are listening to the Victory Podcast. We hope this message will find favor in your life. For more updates about Victory, log on to victory.org.ph and bookmark our website in your browser. Now, here's your message.
Who among you, your answer to the question, you know Christmas is around because of Christmas carols? Okay, let me see. Okay, there are a few, not so very musical people. Okay, how about you know Christmas is around because of Christmas bazaars, malls, and sales, and traffic? Okay, let me see. Oh, it's Christmas. Oh, not too many. Okay, not too many. How about if because of the Christmas decorations? Wow, there's a lot more. So you're more of the visual type. You know, we have some pictures. Some people know Christmas is around because of Christmas decorations, Christmas bazaars, like the lights and Christmas trees. We see this in malls. We see this on the streets. We see all sorts of signs all around the city. Christmas is upon us. We hear Christmas carols and songs being played on the radio. And you see, you know, children going up to your houses. Meron na bang nangaroling sa inyo? Has somebody sang you a Christmas carol? Did you bless them? I hope you did. Don't always say patawad po, okay? In other words, next time na lang. Okay, next time. Please come back next time. You know, this is a way that we celebrate here, Christmas in the city. But more importantly, when Christmas is around, you know, some people think that Christmas begins at Divisoria. Huh? It's time to go to Divisoria. But by the time they go to Divisoria, they realize Christmas was made in China. Okay, so, but the truth is Christmas is in the Bible. And Christmas began by the Word of God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Particularly the colors that Christmas brought about. You see, there are many colors that we see during Christmas season. And the dominant colors are the green, red, gold, and white. You know, we also have, you know, all sorts of Christmas trees these days. And what do these colors really mean? What significance do they have upon us today? What does the Word of God say during this Christmas? Let me start by telling you the story of Christmas. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, the Bible says that the sign that was going to be given to them, this was a prophecy hundreds of years before in the book of Isaiah chapter 7. You can check it out later. The sign that was given to the king at the time, the people of Israel were backslidden. They were corrupt in their heart. They were not following God. They were not obeying the Lord. And the Bible and the king was in peril. But the Lord told the prophet, speak to them, this will be the sign. And the sign was quoted once more at the time of Jesus' birth. It said, the virgin will conceive. And the Bible says in verse 123, he will give birth to a son and they will call him Emmanuel. There was a man who was named Joseph. Remember Joseph? Joseph was betrothed to this woman, Mary. They were engaged. They were about to get married. And they found out Mary was preggy. Now think about that. That's terrible because they haven't had, you know, they haven't been wed. You know, and we see that today. Now, please don't make this an example to follow. Because the Virgin Mary got pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. There was a reason why this was happening. Okay, not the reasons that we have today. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord visited Mary and she was willing to be used of God. And the Bible says that she was overshadowed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then when Joseph found out, man, Mary's pregnant, he decided in his heart to divorce her quietly. But the Lord spoke to him in a vision and Joseph said, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take care of this child. I'm going to take this woman. I'm not going to embarrass her. I'm going to build this family. So they went together. They traveled and they were being warned. There at that time, there was also other characters who were visiting and looking for the one who was to be born. You see, this was a sign. The birth of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 2, in the next verse, it says there in Matthew chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, in Bethlehem in Judea, there was a prophecy. You know, there was a king, his name was Herod. And this Herod was very scared of the one king that was to be born, the ruler of Israel. He gathered all the chief priests and all the scholars, and he said, Find out from the Bible. Find out from the written word. What does the prophecy tell us about this king who was to be born? Is this what the prophet has written in verse 6? It says, it will be in Bethlehem in Judea, in the land of Judah, and by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Remember, there were also three wise men, right? The wise guys. The wise guys were so wise, they went to Herod, and Herod said, please tell him so that I would know where to go and I will worship him. But Herod was acting deceitfully. And the wise guys, when they found Jesus, they followed the star. Remember that story? They followed the star. And when they followed the star, they found Jesus, they worshiped him. And being warned in a dream, they did not go back to Herod. So in Matthew chapter 2, verse moving on in that story, in verse 18, it says there, Herod, okay, talking about Herod, in his anger, he knew that the wise guys, inutakan siya. They outwitted Herod, and so in his desperation, he asked for all the children of below 2 years old, 2 years on and below, to be slaughtered, okay, to be killed, hoping that he would kill the ruler of Israel. He was insecure. He was afraid. He wanted to be the ruler. He wanted power. But praise be to God for Joseph and Mary. They rescued the children. You see, on the onset, in the birth of Jesus Christ, there was already a thief. There was already somebody who was trying to steal the plan of God. You know, it's the same way every Christmas until today. There is somebody who has come to give us life, but there was the thief. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. What is the thief trying to destroy in our Christmas? Every time you celebrate, he's trying to steal the meaning of Christmas. He's trying to kill our life and our joy and our celebration. What's killing your Christmas these days? What's stealing your joy? Is it the attention towards all these so many parties and gift giving? You know, all these decorations. And I appreciate all that. But have we come to a place and knowing that the message of Christmas is intact, it is full, and we can celebrate it fully? You see, the thief has come to destroy not just the message of Christmas, but the very lives that we have during this season. But the good news is, Jesus said, I have come, say, I have come, that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. In the New King James Version, that's what it says. But in the NIV, it says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it to the full. What is the meaning of the colors of Christmas? Let's start with the color green. Traditionally, the color green is symbolic of the tree that is evergreen. Okay, it is a tree that has the ability to still grow within winter season. You see, in our nation, it's not very popular because we don't have winter. Okay, we can have styro winter, but we don't have evergreens, very popular. But evergreen can still grow in winter season. And this was the first picture and where they got the color green for Christmas. You see, evergreens traditionally, you know, they said that this tree is a picture of life, is a picture of abundance, is a picture of flourishing in the midst of, you know, severe and cold weather. And that's what the message of Christmas is about. In the 1400s, they used to have dramas and plays where they would have, you know, the play of Adam and Eve. And remember the Garden of Eden? There were two trees there. Do you remember the two trees? The tree of life and then the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they always pictured the tree of the knowledge of good and evil with the fruit. They always used the apple. I don't know why they had to use the apple. That's where we get the red. But we're going to talk about the red next week. Let's talk about the green. What does the green really stand for in Christmas? It speaks of the tree of life. In the beginning, in Adam's time, God gave life. God put Adam and Eve in a garden, and it's symbolic. You know, when we talk about garden, what color do you see?
Green.
Very good. However, these days we have, you know, we symbolize the evergreen with pine trees. You know, show me some pine trees. And we have Christmas trees, you know. Christmas trees that are colored with all sorts of decorations. But did you know that today, we don't only have green Christmas trees, we have white Christmas trees, right? We have red Christmas trees, orange Christmas trees. Ano yun, may HEPA ba yun? Or I don't know. You know, these Christmas trees of different colors. And I'm not against that. But the original design was the green tree to remind us of the tree of life. Symbolic that God, when He created man, He wanted to give life. But we all know what happened. They took of the other fruit. And what happened? Man sinned. And therefore, death came into the world. Christmas trees. Despite the death that has come upon the world, Jesus brings news. And I want for you to hear the voice of God, the Spirit of the Lord saying, by the words of Jesus Christ, He says, I have come that they may have life. And let me break it down for you, phrase by phrase. The first phrase that He says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus says, I have come. In the original Greek, to come speaks of coming from another place. This was not the casual, you know, walking into the room, I have come, or, you know, parking your car on the garage and coming home. This is to have come means to come from a far and different place. And you wonder why, Lord, why did you have to come? Where did you come from? Jesus comes from another place. He comes from a high and lofty place. He comes from a place of abundance where there is no weeping. He comes from a place called heaven. He comes from a perfect place. A place where there is no fear or lack or any disease. He comes from there. He lives there where there is no impurity. And you ever wonder, why would you leave that place? You ask yourself that. Why would somebody, if you were there, why would you leave that place? We'll get to that. But the Lord says, I have come. And to have come means to have come into the world in this reality. The picture, remember the nativity scene? This is a very important symbol we have here. When Jesus Christ was born, He came as a baby. Remember that song? Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down His sweet head. He came like a baby. And to have come from heaven and just appear like a baby, you might want to put a question mark there. Lord, why like a baby? The people of Israel at this time in the book of Matthew were waiting for a commander, a deliverer, somebody who would set them free from the Roman rule, somebody who was powerful, somebody who was learned, somebody who's probably they would imagine, you know, fireballs coming from His eyes and, you know, and this lightning coming from His fingertips. You know, somebody who would speak with roaring water voice. They would probably think of somebody, a Messiah, a deliverer who would come. But the Lord astounded the whole world, for all history would hinge upon this event. A baby was born. What is so important about this baby? There are many babies being born every day and every second. But have you come to a place in your heart that you recognize that this baby is different? When it says, I have come, who is this? Who is this baby? Who is this baby that King Herod and wise kings from the east would travel so far that King Herod would have all the other babies of his age killed? Who is this baby? Who is this baby that when he grew up, people were shaken, people were shocked, people were surprised, people were either so angry or so in love with him? Who is this baby? Baby pa lang to, celebrity na to. This baby is none other than the Son of God. What made this baby special, more special than all other babies, is that he was born of a virgin, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is a child of God. He is the only begotten Son. And do not belittle this, brothers and sisters. You see, if we are to celebrate the message of Christmas, we must understand that Jesus coming is the incarnation. Jesus coming is the very message of Christmas. That He says, I have come. And some of us today, you probably have not yet entered into that relationship with the Lord. You have not experienced what it is to have the Lord enter into your heart. And the Spirit of the Lord is knocking upon your heart saying, I am at the door of your heart and knocking. Have you let Him come into your life? But at this point in history, Jesus said, I have come. What is the significance of this? Exodus chapter 3, verse 8 recalls to us the theme for another time that God himself says, I have come to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. This was the time of Moses when they were in slavery from Egypt. You see, Jesus Christ's coming is not, you know, to be taken lightly. Jesus Christ's coming had a purpose. It was intentional. He had a reason to come to the earth. And in this picture, he has already been showing to us that he has come to deliver us. We may not be under Egyptians and Pharaoh today, but in our very lives, do you feel the bondage? Do you find yourself confessing the same sins over and over? Do you find yourself in the same trouble again and again and again? Then you should let this word sink into your heart. Jesus says, I have come. There is news for you. You have a deliverer and he has come upon the earth. Is that a good news for you? You see, God is in the business of setting people free. God is in the business of protecting people. In the context of he was saying, John chapter 10, verse 10, he was saying, I am the door to the for the sheep. The sheep should enter by me. You see, there are other people who you try to destroy your life, steal and kill your life. What are the problems that are besetting you now? Will you let the Lord take over? To say that I have come means I am here. I have authority. I will take over. But he will not force himself on you. You know, my dad, when he comes home and there's problems, when he stands up there and calls us each by name, number one, number two, number three, number four, there's four kids. He calls us up and calls our attention when my dad says, I am here, listen to me. There is no more trouble. Whatever quarreling, whatever strife in the home, he will fix it as best as he can, although he's not perfect. But you have to hear the voice of the Lord this morning. God has come for you. God has not simply come on the earth, but he has come for every single one of us. Is he in your family? Is he in your home? Is he among your relationships, your friends, in your parties, in your celebrations? Has the Lord come? In John chapter 6, verse 38 to 40, he says, For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus had a mission. He started off as a baby. You want to know why he started off as a baby? So that we could understand him. So that he can tell us that I know your language. None of us can tell God, Lord, hindi mo alam pinagdadaanan ko. None of us can tell God, Lord, but you don't know what it means to be abandoned, what it means to be rejected. And we cannot tell God that. Because right when he was born, he was already being hunted. I was born in Concepcion, Marikina. And this is a bitter memory for me. Because I spent only 2 months in Concepcion, Marikina. And I never wanted to go back there. Why? Because I have memory. When I was a baby, I was told that my, you know, some relatives of mine, because they didn't like my mom. We were so poor. But my dad comes from a very wealthy family, influential in Baguio City. So I was born here. They hid me here. But when the threat came, the relatives wanted to kill me and my mom because they wanted to make sure that my dad finishes his PMA, you know, because I was born out of wedlock. I was a disaster. I was an unwanted child. And they threatened my life. And you know what happened? They put me in Las Piñas, Pulanglupa. I grew up in the dumps. I grew up where you dump the trash. And I have marks in my body, mga galis sa legs ko, just to prove it. But I would look back and remember there was that bitterness. But only when I came to know God and realized that he has come to take away all my pains, all my suffering, all my, you know, traumas, only then I experience what it is to be alive. Because in the next verse, in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, not only have I come, he says, I have come that they may have life. That they may have life. Talking about you and me, sheep, are you alive? Are you alive today in Christ? You know, there's a difference between bios and zoe. The life in the John chapter 10, verse 10 is the word zoe. The life that we usually understand in biology is bios. You know, as a scientist, we define bios as the life which means able to grow, able to reproduce its kind. That's bios life. But the John chapter 10, verse 10, that they may have life, speaks of Zoe life. It speaks of fullness of life. It speaks of, you know, a life that is blessed, a life that is devoted unto the Lord, a life that is alive in Christ. Are you alive in the Lord? Okay, I'm not talking about, you know, if you can praise, alive, alive, buhay ang Panginoon. Okay, so I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about how loud you are. If you can say hallelujah, praise, it's not about that. But you know that you know if you're here, if you are, you know, the Bible says that apart from Christ, we are dead in our transgressions. Is there sin in your life? For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Do you have that life? We can either just exist in this world, you know, eating, drinking. You know, some people think, I am alive, I can taste food. You know, pag Pasko na, di ba yung mga kita nating pagkain? Okay? Hindi pa Pasko, pag nakita mo, crispy pata. Okay, pag nakita mo crispy pata, mapapa-worship ka. Yes, hallelujah! May crispy pata sa bahay. Okay, may crispy pata ba tayong picture dyan? Oh, crispy pata. Mapapa-worship ka, di ba? Pero alam mo, hindi pa Pasko. Kasi hindi yan yung hinahanda sa Pasko, di ba? Sino sa'yo matutuwa pag may crispy pata? Okay, ayaw nyo crispy pata, no? Hindi bagay sa Pasko. But in Christmas, what do we eat? Hamon! You eat the ham. And you say, hallelujah! Come on! Nobody is worshiping with me. You know, when you eat during Christmas, you praise the Lord for the feast. Do you praise the Lord for the feast? You say, hallelujah, there's ham, Lord. You love me, God. And you lift up your hand because there's suddenly a sudden pain because of eating too much. Hallelujah! I worship you, Lord. But it gets better. On Noche Buena feast, you know, you don't just have hamon. You have lechon. Lechon tawali. Oh my goodness. And all the more you lift up your hands because there's pain in your neck of too much cholesterol. And you worship God. Lord, I worship you, Lord. Don't get me yet. I'm having visions of heaven. Wag muna, Lord. I worship you. Brothers and sisters, when you celebrate Christmas, you gotta guard your heart. Literally. And the Bible says, man does not live on food or bread alone in their context. You don't live on this. You live on the Word of God. What is the Word of God for you? And the Word of God, Jesus says, have life. Do you have life? If there is an area in your life that's still in sin, God is saying there's pending judgment for that. But the good news is Jesus has come that you might have life. You see, Zoe life is a picture of absolute fullness. It is a picture of the green that we know. You know, the Hebrew words for green are many translations. It would translate to flourishing. It would translate to herbs and vegetables, you know, flourishing plants. So eat vegetables on Noche Buena. Okay. You know, it would translate to this. It would also translate in Greek as the word chloros, where we get chlorophyll. Remember that? In high school botany? Full of sap, full of life, full of the nourishment of the plant. You all know that at the bottom of a food web or food chain are the plants. Photosynthetic, chlorophyll. Kaya po green. But it has a picture and a symbolic of what it is to have a blessed life. And finally, he says, not only I have come, he says, okay, have life. He's talking about eternal life. John chapter 5. Can you show me John chapter 5, please? He says, to him who believes, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Do you believe that Jesus is born of the Virgin Mary? Do you believe that he has come to give us life? Do you believe that he is the Son of God, that he is fully man and fully God, so that he can connect with us and relate with us and be sympathetic with us and tell us that you can have life? If there's sin in your life, I have good news for you. Jesus has come that you may have eternal life. Cross over now from death to life. In verse chapter 5, verse 25 and 26, it says, a time is coming, has now come, when the dead will hear the voice of God, and those who hear will live. If you are here, you do not have Christ, you are dead in your sins. But if you hear the voice of God, you are coming to life right now and there's faith in you. Say, Lord, enter into my life. In verse 26, it says, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in itself. Have you experienced this life? Have you tasted this life? And if that is not good enough, listen to this, it gets even better. For God did not just say, have life. He says, have life to the full. He says, have life. Have it more abundantly. Abundance speaks of, you know, exceedingly overflowing life. You may be a believer or a Christian, but if you're not living the fullness of life, if there are things that still grappling with your joy, you cannot celebrate it fully. Maybe there's broken relationships. Maybe there's people that need to be restored. Maybe there are loved ones in your family that are still in bondage. And you know that you need God to come rescue you in those situations. Well, God is saying, have it more abundantly. Many of us know what a life is. What is your life? What is our life? There is no life except a life in Christ. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus came to give us life. Eternal and abundant. I want to say that again. Jesus came that we may have life. Eternal and abundant. In 1 John chapter 2, it says there that he has given us his life. That his life appeared, that we have seen it and testified to it. Eternal life. He has appeared to us. Has he appeared to you? Have you experienced it? When I was in UP, I had a life. I thought my career was set. I was third year molecular biology student. I was being paid by the government to study. I was set to be a scientist. 14 years of scholarship. And when I said, oh, this is the life, I was famous among my peers. I was active in my school. I had savings. I had a girlfriend. I had a life. Only to find out at the end of the day that there was corruption and pride in my heart. That there was so much filth within me because I found myself confessing my sins. Same sins over and over. No power to change. No hope. No deliverance. No friends to help me. No religion to get me out of my filth. But I met Christ. And he says, the life appeared. When I gave up the life that I had, I was still a student. But life was never the same. I thought partying, you know, was great. But it was only for a moment. And to some people, you know, getting high on drugs is a life. But it's only for a moment. To some people, you know, having a great family, having all this money, having all this influence, that's a life. And that's not bad. But apart from Christ, up to where will that go? You see, there's a symbol, what we call the Advent wreath. You know the Advent wreath? That's also a green. And that Advent wreath is circular. You want to know why? That it has no beginning, no end? Because it speaks of the life that Christ is giving. It is eternal. There are eternal pleasures that await you, brothers and sisters. And I want to leave you with this. 1 John chapter 2, the life has appeared. Have you come to receive that life? Jesus came to give us life. Life eternal. Life abundant. Heavenly Father, open our hearts this morning. Thank you, God, for coming into our midst and causing us to experience, to taste and see your goodness. If you're here and you have not experienced that life, or maybe you're a believer and you say you're a Christian, maybe you read your Bible, you go to church, but you know that this is not yet the abundant life. I want to pray for you. I want to pray together with all of us as a family. We are not yet there. We have not experienced. But if you want to taste and see that abundant life, remember the message of the green color, the evergreen. There is life in Christ. Would you stretch out your hand in faith and say, God, reach out to me. Come into my life. I want that abundant life. I want that abundance, not only in finances. Maybe there's a lack. Maybe there's a lack in finances or a lack in joy. Maybe there's a lack of peace. Maybe there's striving. And as you're reaching out your hand, just say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe your word. Come into my life and give me that abundant life. All across this room, Lord, as we stretch out our hands, Lord, I pray for a miracle of abundance. Abundance of joy and the fruit of the Spirit, Lord. The peace, the love, the patience, the kindness and the gentleness, Lord, abound in us. For Lord, if we can imagine an abundant life, if we can picture it in our mind, you promised that you're able to do immeasurably more. And Lord, I pray for those who are in lack, Lord, overflow. Overflow for them. Those who are in need, overflow. Extend it to their relatives and friends. Extend it, overflow. Make these hands as vessels of your abundance to them. In Jesus' name.